Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. And this is our special presidential kickoff. I mean, we're going to try to have a long discussion, and as a matter of fact, we solicit your comments. If you want to call and make a comment and you want it to be on air, all you've got to do is call 425-270-5416. Just go ahead and leave your message. It'll be emailed to me, and I will just be able to pick it up. And if it's a comment, complaint, by all means, go ahead and send them, because I'm pretty sure that on these presidential issues, there's going to be quite a few people that are not going to be happy. They're just not going to be okay with giving up their teat of government. And so, as I kind of warn people, you know, if we go down this path, we become the big unemployers of government. And we start moving people from government into productivity. And by these policies, productivity will increase dramatically. America will once again become one of the greatest nations, and it will actually become the greatest nation on earth. It's just a matter of a short period of time, actually. I honestly believe we'll be able to get rid of all of our bad government and be able to restore those things that make an enlightened society and those things that make a good government. But we have to undo all of the things, this webbing of unconstitutional things that actually defy the intent and purposes, the checks and balances and those types of things, to allow them to become more despotic and more tyrannical. So we're going to kick into the, like I said, the presidential campaign here. But what I need to do is let me go through a couple of our obligatories, because I haven't done this in a long time. As you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. The content we're covering is the Carolina debates. And so what do you need to do to, you know, get involved with us? Just send me an email. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just call me, 425-270-5416. And that number is right there on the Reclaiming the Republic page. Just look at the contact page. Now, we also have a YouTube channel, Reclaiming the Republic. And so all you have to do is go to the YouTube channel and subscribe, and you'll be able to get fed, you know, every time we put up new content and so forth. And as we go through these debates, we're going to end up starting to plug these things in. I've started creating a repository. So all I've got to do is go in and clip out the middle section, because we don't need to cover, you know, the promo anymore. So we're really going to cut it down by 1 minute. Wow. But you're going to get the full debates and the discussion between Paul and myself, or just me monologuing and reading and editorializing and so forth. So anyway, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, so that way when we start putting up the Constitution and those types of things, because we're actually going to be getting the Constitution discussions, or my narration on the Constitution that I did last year, we'll get those up there. And we will possibly, you know, I don't know. When it comes to this coming year's Constitution, I plan on going through it very much, very similar, but I never duplicate it, because I do it fresh and I don't have scripts. I mean, I just read the Constitution and I will tell you, wow, that's a bad thing. That's a problem. So I would like to hear your comments and complaints regarding the content, or more specifically, regarding this presidential campaign, because kicking this off, I have asked and I have kind of articulated what America needs, and I've asked, what does America want? I see America, what I see in the mainstream media is America wants vengeance. The progressives want vengeance for what they perceive are injustices to social justice, unlawful justice. In other words, you don't commit really a crime, but just by the fact that you're white, you're a criminal. You're a white male, you're even a double criminal. And that is not founded in the law. They're trying to make laws like that, and they are succeeding in trying to create the most tyrannical government ever, ever existing on the face of the earth. Now, what we want to do is kind of go into this campaign, but I need you to understand that when we look at the president, it's not just about building a wall. It's not just about, you know, health care or fundamentally reforming. Actually, we need to fundamentally restore this republic. It has only been proven, empirical data has proven, that not one president has really made America better. They've all, since the framers, since Madison left office, we have seen from Monroe on, and Monroe made some mistakes. John Quincy Adams made mistakes. Andrew Jackson, as they went along, it seemed like the more mistakes they started making. And they started pandering to the political class, which is how the English were so successful in basically bribing and corrupting our government in the mid-1800s to create the Organic Act and so forth. All of these things can be blown away. They can literally be put down. And so what we want to do is help you start seeing things. Now, don't be surprised if you kind of look at what I'm saying and what I'm doing and how it truly reflects the Constitution. Because doesn't America deserve a constitutional president to restore our liberties? If we look at the office of the president, the office of the president isn't to manage agendas. I mean, there's got to be really good. As a matter of fact, a leader leads on common core principles and values. Biden is proven not to be a leader. He is proven to be a manager managing some agenda. In America, that agendas are not allowed. I mean, all of these people, believe me, when we get to this, all of these people could be destined towards the rope and the gallows, because all of these people that are invoking all of these terrible laws upon us and all of these policies and so forth that are all unconstitutional, they stand in jeopardy. And I say this because they're violating the supreme law of the land. They're committing treason. Now, I'm going to tell you that they should be marked and they should basically be banned. I believe that those folks that have done these egregious violations, I believe that we probably need to ship them. This is my two cents right now at this point. I believe we need to ship them over to China, over to Russia, you know, the communist place of their choice, or those countries that they did the most pandering to. So the Clintons and Biden, definitely over to China. Obama, Russia. You see my point? Because those who did the pandering and the management of the agendas for these communist states or for the globalists, well, let's send them to where they belong. And, oh, by the way, they're not taking anything with them. They're going to be treated like Tories. Just like all of the Bolsheviks in America. Folks, if you have children that are Tories, that are Bolsheviks out there trying to demand this constitutional, you know, dissolvement and move us towards a communist state with social justice, you need to start informing them how they're violating their law and their citizenship is at risk. You don't just get a citizenship because you want to be an enemy to this Constitution. The obligation of a citizen is to support the Constitution. This is almost a perfect design. This is a design that even the framers didn't fathom at that point. because they couldn't imagine how somebody would be so adamantly opposed and have such disdain for liberty that would demand the shredding of the Constitution and taking away the liberties of others and even be willing to kill them. This is how evil this is. I'm not seeking to kill anybody. I'm not seeking to levy that type of justice. I believe that deporting them and banning them from American soil and involvement in American affairs, they're done. They are done. You know, some of these people could, you know, that may actually hold, you know, national secrets and government secrets. Many of those secrets will actually be dead with them when they leave out of here. And not as they're going to be out here dead. We're not shipping dead bodies anywhere, folks, so don't worry about that. But bottom line, we have an obligation to the law and to ensure that our government is performing by the specs of the Constitution, not, you know, as how they want to go down this path, not to give them any room to say, oh, well, we think we can do this. That's going to end. That has to end. And the sooner it ends, the sooner we are back on our recovery and back to actually great once and for all. You know, let's make America great once and for all. Because I believe when we do this, this America, this greatness that we will be able to create, this land of liberty for all inhabitants on the earth that wish to partake, then we're there. Because we can get there. No doubt in my mind, we can get there, especially when we conform to the Constitution. Now, there's some things we need to change, maybe a little bit, but let's not even discuss the changes we need until we get into compliance. Because the compliance is first and foremost, because the non-compliance is what is killing us. It is the non-compliance that has put us in harm's way and has created these risks that we're facing today. So, with that, now there's a lot of things that I could start off with. And so a lot of, you know, when they talk about the presidential campaign, you know, what is the first issue? What is the most important thing that you got to do? And a lot of them dive into because everybody's really concerned about foreign affairs and all of that. And obviously, I mean, if I asked anybody that knew me, and most everybody that listens to this show kind of knows me pretty good, what is the one thing that is the first and foremost thing that we absolutely have to get on top of? Well, it's the Constitution. So the first thing, and just to be clear, the president's role, I want you to understand this. The president's job, he cannot legislate. He cannot make law. He cannot, you know, determine whether this is or whether that is, you know, fair or within the comp. He can't make justice decisions. But he can determine whether the justice has, let's say, jurisdiction or not. Now, we kind of trust the justice and the court to do that, but they've actually proven that they will go well beyond their enumerated jurisdiction and start dealing and delving into issues just to drive agendas. And, you know, abortion was one of those. And, you know, all of these other little social issues that they've dove into, we'll get into those. But bottom line, the president's job is to make sure that he takes care, because this is in his oath, that he must take care that the laws be faithfully executed. So as we look at the laws, are they being faithfully executed? And we'll find out that Congress has actually been violating so many of them. So as understanding my responsibility as president to the United States, then the first thing that we have to do, that I will call upon the states to do, but I will do this first. I will terminate the use of the annotated Constitution. In other words, I will basically tell the judiciary and Congress that that is an abomination to the law of the land, that only the parties have the ability to determine what they believe is constitutional, what isn't. And it requires 3/4 of those states to actually go through to redefine anything. But they already have adequate definitions for most all of these things. And this is why We will terminate the use of the annotated Constitution and advise the states that they need to definitize the Constitution and its meanings according to the ratification debates, period. So they all come together, they definitize it. In other words, if California wants to come to, you know, to the table and say, okay, we want to be a part of this definitizing of the Constitution, and we want to bring in these international laws and so, sorry, those aren't a part of the ratification debates. They have no place here in our Constitution. They had no legal standing and no legal, they're not legal appendages of the Constitution like the ratification debates are. Now, we want to make sure that they actually follow the Federalists or the opponents, the proponents for the Constitution terms and definitions, that they do not include the anti-Federalist terms and definitions who are actually trying to oppose. Okay, so I guess I'm a little tongue-tied. I thought I had this under control here. Anyway, you know there's exercises and so forth you do. Anyway, so we're going to have the states, actually, we're going to call upon that, but the president has the authority of executing the laws of the union, and they can recognize that that is not the law and actually has the power to terminate and say, that is gone. You cannot expunge that from all records. It is not to be used in federal offices or by any federal department, agency, period, or branch. The judicial branch cannot use the annotated Constitution anymore. Your job is to, you know, stay within the framework, use the ratification debates, and you better make your decisions, and you better actually bring cases in that are within your jurisdiction. And so the next little thing that the president needs to do is to advise the states as they definitize the Constitution. He should advise them to initiate republic review. Now, the states are kind of going to be, you know, they're going to just that metaphor of the deer caught in the road in that stare glaze looking at your headlights going, what? And so they're going to have to be, I don't want to say coaxed or coached. They're going to have to be exposed and taught how important the Republic Review is and how important the states are in the process of holding the federal government accountable. So that is, you know, the second real step in advising them to initiate Republic Review. Then, as I've done that, then I'm going to turn over to the Justice Department and basically pull everything that the Justice Department is doing that has nothing to do with oaths and public servants' compliance to their oath of office. They're going to be solely focused on holding every public servant accountable to their oath. Any person that was guilty of violating, you know, like the Durham report, and basically the Justice Department will take all of these things on, and Hillary Clinton will be barred from any type of public office for the rest of her life, period. Bill Clinton, the same, because he was a governor. And so we may not be presidents, former presidents. We may not be able to, you know, ban them unless they served in the capacity of another office, right? George H.W. Bush, he was a governor of Texas, and I'm sure we'll find some violations of him. He'll be banned from ever serving or being involved in public service, period. Actually, most of these people, as I kind of mentioned, they'll probably end up being deported. They'll probably end up being shipped to, you know, the nation where they, you know, had their allegiance to, those nations that they helped, what have you. Who knows? Maybe, you know, like Pelosi, she can go into a taffy pull and let all those nations that she's been pandering to as the unofficial Secretary of State and you know, witch of the world. I'm sorry. Anyway, it's not really personal, but you kind of get that way when people are they're so criminal in their behavior. I mean, they're just so bad. They're so evil. Now, let's differentiate here. When we talk about evil, sometimes that is a subjective thing. But if you actually have a metrics of good and evil, which we do, and I do, and I think most of you do, then it's easy to actually determine anybody that is starting to do these things that are violating the law. Well, that's evil. But when you're really blatantly, I mean, grandstanding and becoming a drama queen and violating the law, you know, you have to pass it to know what's in it. That kind of crap, then that is just pure evil. Anyway, moving on. So the focus of the Justice Department and the FBI will be solely on oaths of office based on the definitized Constitution. So we'll need to help the states become expeditiously going through and providing what these terms mean and what they, you know, what they can do and what they can't do kind of things. And then the FBI and the Justice Department will actually remove all of these people. Now, see, here's the nice thing. None of these people have to go to jail. None of these people will actually be incarcerated. Only those who will be tried for treason and those things. And as far as I'm concerned, I believe that the treason charges need to come from the states. I believe that each state should probably, so these state legislatures are going to kind of have, they will have a huge road to hoe, a long road to hoe of going through all the different public servants to determine, as it is spelled out, how they violated the Constitution, whether the states want to try these people for treason. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's not about justice, it's about the law. If you want your pound of flesh, if you want your justice, then I believe it should require a majority of the states to go down that path in holding these people accountable. Now, remember, if these people that may be released, they can be tried and they can go through that whole process if the states want to. But again, we have the Tory Acts as precedents to be able to deport people. And it should be a part of our law. It should be a part of the Congress's, because if you have the power to determine what it takes for a person to become a citizen, you have that equal power of determining whether that person can be a citizen or not. And you also have that equal power of being able to, you know, remove them, all based on the constitutional standards. I mean, there's nothing in the Constitution that drives anything that would be bad in getting rid of good people. That there's no amendment that says people that abide by these morals or these, that doesn't exist. Enforcing the law exists as it is, and we have to enforce it. And so I'm hoping that we're good with this year. We're actually going to be breathing, you know, fresh air, fresh ideas into the presidential campaign. I've got barely a minute to go on. I've got a lot to cover, folks. Don't worry. And so those people, so as we kind of go through this, what there's going to be a priority with those who are in leadership, like, you know, the Speaker of the House, the Majority Whip, those people, McConnell, all of these people that are in leadership, they will be first. They will be examined first, and they're probably almost every single one of them will be removed. Why? Because you can't get in that position and you can't allow this government to operate, this huge unconstitutional government to operate while you're staying and complying with the Constitution, because almost everything that this government is doing in its operations, 90% of what it's doing in its operations is illegitimate. It has no ability to do these things constitutionally, and they're driving those things forward. So we're going to prioritize leadership first, and then we're going to kind of work our way through the ranks, because it may have been a former leader or what have you. But bottom line, we are going to scrub every public servant that was elected. We're then going to scrub all of the, we'll call them the bureaucrats, those people who have been appointed, like Rice and so forth, right? So we're going to actually start going into those appointees that are kind of on the payroll and those types of things, and they will be removed for violating the Constitution, whether they're under oath or not. all they're still U.S. citizens and they're still obligated to support the United States Constitution, and therefore we'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me just finish this little part that this is just a small section of what we're going to cover. But in looking at going after, we're going after all the public servants, all the bureaucrats and everything else. If somebody has not done something that would be perceived as egregious and they have a reasonable defense that they just didn't understand, or actually they didn't even question it, then I don't believe that they deserve much tolerance, especially a person that's taken the oath of office. If you've taken the oath of office and you're not asking questions, is this legitimate? And then you're being told, well, this is what we have to do, and this is why you have to do it. And you kind of go along with that, then, okay, I can get that. But not even asking and just jumping on board, like the activist, those evil four operators, AOC and so forth, those people are actually bringing in their own agenda to violate the Constitution. You know, let's see how much more damage we can do. And so those people, gone. But some people will be allowed to have a first and final. Now, we have to be very, very careful. And as a matter of fact, it should actually go back to the states to determine if the states actually want to, have a reconsideration, because that's what can happen. I mean, the states can step up and say, hey, we did elect this person, and we're hoping, because they can't keep him in. There's nothing the states can do that will allow that person, that public servant, to stay in office. There's nothing they can do. But they can appeal for a first and final if they think, that person is, morally salvageable, kind of thing. But, and I hate creating gray area, but I think we need to lean towards leniency for those who deserve it. But bottom line, this is a black and white issue. Now, this is not a racial black and white. It's a paper white, ink black. It is a highly contrasted issue that we see what's in the law. And if you violate the law, then you're guilty. You got to go. But again, I think everybody needs to understand that you can get your first and final. Now, we should get to a point where first and finals are no longer offered. And as a matter of fact, I would basically put a sunset on the first and final policy, for probably the next class. In other words, the people that are in are going to get one first and final. That's it. And so while they're in office, we hope to have, I believe, if you look at the size of the Justice Department and the FBI, and all of a sudden you take them off fighting crime, you take them off all the things that they really shouldn't be doing, and we focus them all on holding government servants accountable, we'll be able to actually get through and actually find, you know, those people who they have been colluding with in businesses that have been bribing or paying and corrupting all of these businesses, by the way. So you got to understand here, folks, that we're not just getting the politicians. We're going to be getting those who've been owning these politicians, those who have been contributing and have had, you know, access to and have used these politicians to commit warfare against America. So we're going to expose that out of these key people in D.C. And we're going to clean, if you want to call it clean the swamp, this is just the beginning. And I'll say that as a precursor, because the next thing I'm going to cover will actually help you understand how the swamp will be exterminated. So as we kind of look at, you know, this first and final policy, it'll probably sunset in the second class, which I mean by that is in 2 years, the next set of senators and representatives may possibly be allowed a first and final, but that's it. The second class, not the okay, so it would be the third class technically. In other words, 4 years down, everybody that's elected 4 years down, you know, first and finals. And at this point in time, as we can, we want to start reducing the size of the Justice Department and the FBI, because if there is any reason for the FBI to exist, it would be to hold government accountable. The federal government, as we've already talked about this before, but the federal government doesn't have the ability to create crimes, to determine what a crime is and to say that's a federal crime. You know, I understand that committing perjury is a crime, and it is a standard crime that is enforced in every state. So it's one of those crimes that actually Congress can, you know, utilize. But this special crime of lying to Congress and sending people to jail, sorry, that's aggrandizing their power. You know, holding somebody for perjury and having a reasonable, you know, sentence for perjury. Okay, if you're going to perjure yourself while you're under oath, then, you know, face that. But to aggrandize it so that, you know, you make it you scare the crap out of people for perjuring themselves, I'm sorry. That was strictly aggrandizing and giving themselves more muscle than the Constitution allows. So I digress. The next step, now that I've turned to the states, definitize the Constitution, and initiate republic review. Now I turn back to the state or the federal government, and I go, okay, it's my job to enforce the Constitution as the president. Faithfully, these laws are executed, and the 14th Amendment is the law of the land, and there will be no person that's elected that will be allowed to serve, you know, and continue serving if you have violated your oath. And we're going to inspect, because we all need to be held to that standard. So, boom, we kick off this big investigation. We focus all resources on this. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to actually, as the president, you're going to love this. I am going to snapshot every federal bureaucracy. As a matter of fact, prior to my getting into office, all the states need to basically send warnings to the existing regime that any destruction of data will be considered a capital crime, because somebody that is trying to evade justice to that degree where we can't understand how they've sold us out, then that'll be considered a capital offense. And bottom line, because that is treason. And treason is a capital offense, and we will go after those folks because the federal government has jurisdiction over treason, and they have the ability to do that. And so we will actually have gallows if necessary, because anybody that wants to do the cover-up. So this snapshot is going to be a full snapshot of the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Interior, the Department of Agriculture, blah, 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 blah. And if you understand my whole point here, folks, is that when I am done gathering these snapshots, these will be put into a repository for the states. Ah, because as the states start initiating republic review, there is a need for the states to actually determine what to do with all these crimes. Now, again, the impetus, the most important thing, actually, what is paramount is actually creating the directives of shutting down these departments. And we'll get into that. And that's a part of the domestic policies and processes and so forth. But bottom line, I'm going to demand a snapshot out of all executive agencies, EPA, all of them. This way we've captured all the communications, what everybody's been doing, from lowest learner to the minuscule person. And we will now have a full snapshot of all the data so that we can now hold people accountable if the states choose to. See, if I basically said I don't care to hold the people accountable, you know, and which is true, I don't. But I would be supporting corruption if I did nothing and didn't use my power to at least take that snapshot so that those who want justice under the law can seek justice under the law. It is my responsibility to make sure that happens. I believe that, you know, one of the most important principles of Christianity is forgiveness. And so I'm okay with not necessarily killing people, but I do believe that those people who will go at lengths like Sandy Berger to remove data, classified data, take it home and then burn it, that was the epitome of corruption and treason. And technically, Sandy Berger, because he's never been tried for that, he still stands in jeopardy for being tried for that. He never actually went on trial. So double jeopardy does not exist here. He can actually be tried and hanged for treason. So, you know, I'm hoping that these things sound not necessarily like vengeance, but this is the way to go forward if we as a people are going to restore our country and our Constitution and this republic. We actually must obtain compliance. And so the first thing we have to do is we have to hold accountable those people who are non-compliant, which is why we're doing this. So again, the first and final warning will be sunsetted probably by the third, if not the fourth. Yeah, third, if not the fourth, I'll just say class. Now, the next thing that I am going to do as president, because I have to faithfully execute the Constitution, I then have to basically secure appropriate apportionment of not more than 30,000 citizens per representative in Congress. In other words, I am basically going to say that Congress did not have, remember, I get to actually enforce the Constitution. And so when Congress violates the Constitution, they do something that is absolutely egregious, a flat out blatant violation, like changing apportionment of the people to, you know, almost a million per person. And they can't do that. They didn't want to do the amendment process. So what we're going to do is we're going to enforce the current Constitution, because that's all I can do. And so we will secure appropriate apportionment for not more than 30,000 citizens per representative in Congress. Then we will advocate for the First Amendment of the original Bill of Rights for the states to ratify that. That will instantly change the apportionment from 30,000 to 50,000. So if we can get the states to really do that quickly, it'll, you know, set that down, or, you know, it'll move it down. I'll also reallocate congressional budgets, buses. I'll be bussing them home. I've got to reallocate Congress's budget to accommodate virtual representation from their homes and basically cut the operation funds for the Capitol. They don't need to be in the Capitol anymore. And so we're going to, you know, change that budget for them, because who pays Congress? Who does their HR and all of that? That's the executive department. And so we're going to, you know, fix this so that they're properly compensated. And, oh, by the way, they're not going to have their own health care. They don't have the authority to do that. They're not going to have all of these little perks and benefits that they've given themselves that aren't within the Constitution. The only thing that's within the Constitution is pay. And so it's the same thing with, you know, the fact that they didn't provide an amendment to the Constitution that the president would not only be paid, but he would be guaranteed a security detail. Former presidents, yeah, the current presidents, yes, but former presidents, no. Now, if we want to amend, and I think the states would probably say, yeah, we probably want to, you know, provide security for former presidents, but not other people. And, you know, if look at how many Secret Service details there are for different members of Congress. This needs to go to, if they want it, they can pay for it. But bottom line, those people who've already got out with their stipends, you know, we have to review whether that's constitutional, what they did, because if it wasn't constitutional, then those stipends need to be removed and they need to be returned back to the baselines. And as a matter of fact, when we look at the salaries, when we look at salaries for Congress, the congressman's salary should be based upon the state, not upon a federal standard anymore, because they're going to be functioning from their states. Now, let's look at it this way. When the framers created Congress to meet in D.C., well, they knew that they were going to have to travel. They knew that there would be this, you know, this separation. So they'd have to compensate them for having a second home and living this elite lifestyle. Well, not anymore. They don't need that anymore, because for them to actually do their job is to represent the people, and they can do that virtually. And if they can't do that virtually because there's some security things that, you know, national security or what have you, then we're going to accommodate that. But what we're going to do here is we're going to reallocate their budget to accommodate them representing themselves from home and not ever coming into Congress. Now, not that they're not going to come into Congress, not that they won't actually have to come in. But bottom line, they should be read into their oath of office as necessary, you know, at the state level. And they should also, you know, be there at home, accessible to the people. That's the best representation we can have, is being there, accessible to the people, and not accessible to the lobbyists who have absolutely no lawful right to access them. We want to make sure that lobbyists and that representatives do not have open door policies for people that are not within their constituency. In other words, if they're not from the geographical region of, you know, that particular congressional district, then that's it. They don't get to rub elbows with everybody because, oh, you know, yeah, I'm up for sale. Buy me and I'll prostitute myself for you. We're also going to reduce representative staffing as much as possible. Just want to make sure you understand that, as much as possible. So in other words, they probably won't have a staff. And now that they're all meeting in a state, they will, because their job is going to go down completely. Because folks, you do realize that these committees that they have, how many committees do they have that are actually for real constitutional roles, responsibilities, powers, and properties? None. None other than national defense and those types of things. And they don't need a staff. So we're going to downsize them as much as possible. Now, there may be a need for some aid at the state level. In other words, all congressmen will share one aide. All congressmen will share maybe one or two aides, but that's it. And those aides' salaries will be based on the state income salary range. Does that make sense? Because when you look at the average income of one state to another, there are some states that just have unreasonably high, you know, wages. And then there's some that actually have very reasonable or even oppressed, you know, because their economy is just in the tank or something, or it's just cheap to live there, you know, like a state that actually doesn't get reasonably cold. It's just, you know, it's nice. And, you know, anyway, I digress. We're going to reduce representative salaries, like I said, to the state standard so that they need to act. Because when they started voting themselves into these raises, yeah, the Constitution allowed them to do that as of 1992, I think. But bottom line, there is this thing in the Constitution that basically doesn't guarantee them to be the top dollar, top paid. And this thing has to completely be revamped. They shouldn't be suckers or drains of the budget's wealth, or I should say of the nation's wealth and budget. And anyway, what we also want to do is ensure that reimbursement for all legitimate expenses, in other words, they have to make an expense claim. They just don't have a budget for it. When they get compensated, they'll be compensated based on the claim, not a budget, and whether they use it or not. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does, and I think this makes a lot of sense to people, because we're going to completely revamp, you know, how they have the ability. Because, folks, I don't know how many people have complained, but when people have been saying, you know, here's a person that's had this kind of salary and is walking out of Congress after just a short period of time, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars richer, where there's no justification of how they made that money in that position based on their salary. And so what that means is that while they're in office, and if necessary, we'll, you know, I'll champion an amendment on congressional, or I should say federal employment, to say that no person can receive any money, whether that be for campaigns or anything else, outside of their constituents, and none of that money can go into their personal pockets. In other words, it goes back to the people, it goes back to the district, it goes back. It does not stay in their hands. This is how we've become so corrupt. When you inject money into anything, you open the doors and windows for corruption to fly in. Now, after we've done all of this revamping and reapportionment, we'll then advise that this, you're going to love this. Okay, GR has basically completely displaced the House of Representatives. That the House of Representatives is no longer even in the swamp, so lobbyists can't just walk down the hall. They actually have to get in a plane and fly somewhere to try to talk to them. And we're going to make sure that we have this law that does not allow any constituents to actually buy them or bribe them. However, we can only champion these types of laws because they're not necessarily within the Constitution. So we have to get you to actually start changing your laws to making all elections local and making all of your representatives tied to their local district only. That the only justifiable reason for a representative to meet with somebody that is involved in a business or some government contract is because that person is on a committee, like a National Defense Committee, and this person has information that they need, but all interactions have to be completely tracked. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that a public servant will have to do is they'll have to have full disclosure of their banking. In other words, anything that goes into their bank accounts, then that it has to be identified, because we do not allow corruption. And they've been able to basically protect themselves from being. So, you know, this law of actually, you know, every $600 transaction that you do, they don't have the power to do that, but we can actually enforce that upon them. And that's what we plan on doing, so that anything over $600 in or $600 out, we want a full justification, and they have to explain it, which keeps them from spending their money, you know, in those types of things. And it helps put a cap on the ability for people to buy your representatives and actually, you know, pay for the government that they want instead of letting you have the government you deserve. Now, this next one, like I said, you're going to love this one because we've already addressed the House of Representatives. This next one is, as President of the United States, I will advise the states that have not consented to the 17th Amendment must go back to appointing their senators. And I will cite the 5th article of the Constitution and tell them that they absolutely have constitutional protection, that they cannot give up their consent. Either they ratify the 17th Amendment or go back to, you know, appointing as appropriate. And those states are, and I'm going to tell you, nudge, 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 there's a state, two states on here, two states that I would say you can now create a petition to demand that your state, you know, stops the general elections for your state senators. Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, Virginia, and Utah. And the two states that we're actually working directly with on the petition militia is Georgia and Virginia. Yeah, Virginia. Okay, so Virginia did not consent to the 17th Amendment, so they do not have to appoint, or they do not have to elect. They can go back to the state legislature appointing their representatives, period. And that'll take 7. That will remove 14 purchased, you know, globalist-owned senators out of the Senate. Now, the next step on this, because I actually didn't include this, but the next step on this, and I'll forgive me because it's important, because why I actually want to put this stuff up is the next step is to tell states about rescinding. And so what is telling states about rescinding? Well, rescinding is the process of, sorry about turning my back towards you. I had to make a note. It's important because I want to put these things up on the website. And they're not going to be up there today or this week. I'm still going through this whole list, and we'll go through this, and then we'll start comparing and contrasting as these candidates start getting in front of everybody, because I'm just tired. I am so tired of listening to the status quo that, yeah, we have a gigantuan, unconstitutional, you know, federal government, and I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to do more favorable things with all this unconstitutional spending. Are you kidding me? Anyway. So I'm going to advocate to the states, just like I'm going to advocate to the states to basically amend the Constitution or pass Madison's amendment to reapportion the representatives from 30 to 50,000. So get them to pass that First Amendment. And then I'm going to inform the states that as of 2010, the federal government allowed Delaware, I just had to remember the state, Delaware, because that's where Biden's from, and Biden, the dope, was probably the one that, I don't know this for sure, but there's no doubt in my mind when it comes to doing something stupid and opening the door for, you know, and not knowing what you're doing, you know, just think, oh, this would be a good idea. Yeah, that would be. And so if Biden was the one, I'm pretty sure, at least it just seems to me he had that influence. Hey, you guys rejected the 17th Amendment, and we like that amendment because obviously he loves that amendment because it allows the globalists. So, and as a matter of fact, it doesn't change anything. So we're going to have to pick up here on the rescission of the 17th Amendment next week. But I'm hoping to give you a view of how great America could be with a good constitutional president. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution.
Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.